Hey, this is Matt Lesher. I play Eobard Thawne on CW's The Flash, and this is the Central City Underground.
Run, Barry. Run. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Central City Underground. I am Tony Caselli.
And I am future Joe Zettelmeyer, who is inexplicably taller than regular Joe Zettelmeyer.
You're so tall.
My God, it's like I grew 5 inches in 8 years.
And you look really emo goth.
Right? You like the giant flappy wig on my head?
Welcome, everybody, to Central City Underground. This, of course, is the show where we talk about our favorite superhero TV show, The Flash. This is Episode 87 of Central City Underground, Joe.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And we
our podcast can now get a senior citizen discount. I mean, it could for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. 87. We're talking about Season 3, Episode 19 of The Flash, entitled The Once and Future Flash. Joe, what'd you think?
I really liked it. There were certainly a couple things that made me tug upon my goatee and go, But for the most part, really dug it.
Good. Yeah, I liked it quite a bit, too. There were a couple things, same thing, but overall, I liked the episode. I liked the look into the future a little bit. There was much conversation on our Facebook page, Central City Underground, if you haven't joined us, about whether this actually helped us get closer to guessing on any of our Savitar theories. I actually don't think that it did.
I don't think so either.
But we'll talk about that when we get there. But I that was one of the things that I liked about this episode, was that we saw Caitlin find out.
Yep.
Or, well, we saw Killer Frost find out, and the rest of us went, wait, what did I just learn from that? What?
Yeah, actually, kind of nothing.
Right, exactly. So I'm also going to apologize because I'm a little under the weather this week. My voice is a little rough. And so I'm going to let Joe do a lot of talking, I hope.
You lucky, lucky people.
Oh, look at that. You can see it on the ratings right now. So many people just dropped right off. That's crazy. Kidding, of course. So, Joe, I got a couple nuts and bolts things to throw out about this episode. This episode was written by a first-time Flash writer.
Is it me?
I wish it was. I wish they would let you do a bunch of them next season.
Me too.
Her name is Karina Adley McKenzie, and this is her first one on The Flash, but she has a bunch of credits on the TV show The Originals, which I'm not familiar with, but
I know that it exists. I've never watched it.
There you go.
I think it has sexy vampires.
Okay, but I liked a lot of this episode in terms of the writing.
Yeah.
And so that was nice to see. This episode was directed by somebody you're probably familiar with.
Is it me?
Again, not yet. But I'm not ruling it out. This was directed by the one and only Tom Cavanaugh.
Woo!
Who many of you may recognize as being Harrison Wells, H.R. Wells, Harry Wells, Mime Wells, and the guy who was in the Ed TV series.
That's right.
And his wonderful podcast called Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, which is hilarious. Hey, Joe, listen to this.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
A nice warm cup of coffee to try and keep me going.
There you go.
I actually found out Tom Cavanaugh directed 3 episodes of the TV series Ed that he was in.
I didn't know that.
And so this is his 4th television show directing credit, which I think is cool.
I thought he did a very nice job.
I thought he did, too. I thought there was a lot of fun things. I mean, the whole look of Central City 2024 was fun.
Oh, totally.
Right?
In sort of a RoboCop sort of way.
Yeah, exactly. It really kind of was.
As Michiganders, we are by nature programmed to love RoboCop.
Yeah, it's important. And yeah. Reference it regularly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big part of our life here.
Joe, this episode got a 2.67 million rating, which is up by 0.3 from the last one, which was one of the lowest ratings. Abracadabra got 2.39 at first viewing.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but this one was up a good bit, which I think showed that people were excited and hungry for the show to come back from its big hiatus. And, of course, those will go up as people watch it in the time-shifted manners as well.
That's right.
Joe, there are the only other news I have, and you may have others, is that we now have titles for the next two episodes.
That was literally the only other thing I had.
Do you want to give them? Go for it.
Let me look them back up again. I didn't have them right in front of me.
Forget it. I'm going.
I know what the next one is. I Know Who You Are.
I Know Who You Are will air on May 2nd.
What on earth could that possibly be referring to, I wonder?
Yeah, I wonder.
It's about Savitar.
And, you know, it's funny because I do feel like at that point, that'll be the 20th episode. And so there will be three more after that. At that point, I will be ready to find out who it is.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, I know
that, time.
Right? There's been much discussion about it's been dragged out too long, or has been dragged out too long, or we like that it's a different format from the last two when we found things out at, you know, different times and blah, blah, blah. I haven't minded not finding out who Savitar is, I don't think.
No, but I'm ready.
Yeah, but that's the way I am. Now that we've seen him step out of the suit, I'm like, yeah, you need to show us that.
Right.
What's the 21st episode title?
The 21st episode is titled Cause and Effect.
Da, da, da. And that will air on May 9th.
It will.
So we got those two coming up. I don't know. I don't think I know any other titles for the 22nd or 23rd yet.
Yeah, if they have been announced, I have not seen them.
All right, cool. That's the news I've got. Should we just slide into this episode?
Let's do it.
Why don't we go chronologically, yeah?
Why not? I mean, one of the fun things I liked about this episode is it's an A story episode, right? Like, there's really no B story.
Yeah, there really wasn't, like, you know, Gypsy and Sisko running around on their own secret mission or anything like that, or this love affair moment between Patty and right. Barry.
The closest thing we had to Patty. A B episode was the Killer Frost stuff, which is almost how we start. Almost.
Right. So before we do that, how did you rate this show, Joe?
I gave this week's episode 8.7 robot hands.
Nice.
Thank you.
8.7? Oh, you liked this one a lot.
I did. I did quite enjoy this one. There, like I said, a couple things that bugged me, but there are also things that have bugged me in previous episodes as well.
Sure, sure. I don't know why I gave it a little lower, but I gave it 8.2. Suddenly Killer Frost is really fast twos.
Speaking of things that bugged me in this episode.
There were two things that I was going back and forth between, because I almost gave it 8.2s, 8.2, that power dampening thingy that future Sisko had in his hand better come back to help them against Savitars.
Right? Maybe take that with you, buddy.
I know. Why are you leaving that there? What are you doing?
Potentially vastly important and useful. Also, have you noticed that Sisko seems to like to design things in a circular fashion?
Right, because it did look a lot like the thingy that Abracadabra used to get back and forth between dimensions, didn't it?
Know what else it also looked like? Yeah, that thing. Yeah, the Supergirl dimensional door opener thingy. Yep.
What else?
Made mine look like a garage door opener.
That would be excellent. Okay, so good. Take it from the top.
So, at the very beginning of this episode, while it might be delightfully early summery weather here in Michigan, apparently it is not so in Central City.
Right.
Because snowing. It's not nicely, I don't know what time of the year it is. Apparently it's still 2016, by the way. I caught that. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, they did have a moment where it was 4 years after she died and 4 years ago, right? So it was 8 years between the two.
Yeah, he specifically says it's 8 years, 1824 or 1824. that's where Cowboy West lives. Or Cowboy Wells. That's it. I'm going home.
All right, thanks for coming in.
But I am home. Yes, it's 2024, so 8 years from that, it's still 2016. But Barry and Iris are having a talk. talk about what's gonna happen if Barry doesn't win.
Yeah.
And the talk is basically he's got to look after Joe.
Yeah, it was a nice thing.
It was, and certainly a promise that haunts us later in this episode.
Yes.
And from there, we cut to a different sort of snowy situation, a Caitlin snowy situation.
Yeah, his little flash alert thing goes off, and he says, Star Labs. And then we see why, because Killer Frost is chasing the boys around.
Yup. And once again, I know it's a sticking point for a lot of people. I'm not going to lie. It bugs me a little bit, too, of why her metahuman power also results in either a personality change or some sort of, you know, she loses her morality. I don't know.
I've decided that, unfortunately for Caitlin, and not, it doesn't happen to a lot of the other ones, but her powers, actually, the part of her brain that governs justice and right and wrong is temporarily frostbitten.
Maybe.
Because when she freezes and has Killer Frost, that's what happens. Maybe. And that's what I decided. It's completely ridiculous and not founded on anything, but it helps me not go into a fit of rage.
to paraphrase Morbo from Futurama, for anyone who watches Futurama, frostbite does not work that way.
Exactly. But still, yeah, I know. She's evil, and we're just going to have to go, okay, that's how it's affected her.
Yep.
Because that's how it's affected her.
Look, Plot Device has made his ruling. We just got to be okay with this.
Exactly. And I do like her. The effects surrounding her are really cool.
One of my favorite, and this was another early on in the episode moment where I was like, ooh, Tom Cavanaugh, I like what you're doing there, buddy. Where the moment where we see her walking down the hall, just leaving the ice trails on the wall.
Yes.
I was like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
And yes, things have gone badly for our heroes who, if we remember last episode, decided to save Caitlin's life by removing her necklace. Caitlin herself then removes the necklace from reality by freezing it into a bajillion little pieces.
Yeah, poor Julian. He was trying. He had a whole plan.
He had a plan.
And nope.
Didn't work. Everyone runs away after Cisco gives her a wee blast of the vibe powers.
So, Joe, now that we've seen the necklace get destroyed, because this was the talking point I wanted to ask you, do you think season 4 will be only Killer Frost, or do you think she's going to be rescued?
I think she's going to be rescued.
Okay.
But I am an optimist.
Okay. It just occurred to me because we know, you know, in this episode, the character that we've heard talked about, Tracy Brand, is being introduced. And she's going to be in the last 4 episodes. That we know already.
Yes.
As a super smart, quirky, idiosyncratic scientist genius, right?
Thank God.
Right? Because we don't have enough of those. But it occurred to me that, you know, if she continues to remain Killer Frosty, is Tracy Brand brought on to be the new science brain person in the show next season? I don't know, but it just occurred as a thing because there's only a few episodes left, and she's pretty hardcore evil with Savitar right now.
She sure is. Unless she's a double agent.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
She's not. No, she's not. I don't think that either.
So the guys try and hide from her. And suddenly break out in Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
So good. Especially when Cisco busts in the harmony.
Right? Because we know we've seen lots of videos of the Kavanaugh and Carlos Valdez singing. And, you know, they've put out a bunch of videos of them singing and screwing around on set. And here they get to burst into the jail time song.
Right.
And I love Julie going, shush! Like, what are you doing?
Well, followed immediately by the, hey, guess what, dummies? My palm print still works.
Right. Funny.
Dummies. You just don't hear that one enough anymore. It's a classic.
Right?
Guess what, dummies?
Barry speeds into the rescue and really shoulder blocks her to the floor.
Right? She attempts to kill him. Doesn't go super great. And then she attempts to escape by putting up an ice wall. On one level, I was very happy to see Barry remember that he can phase through solid matter, because he doesn't always remember that.
Correct.
I was like, good going, buddy. Just phase right through that ice.
Yep.
What I don't love, and I know everybody hated this. I hated it too. Well, I've checked the building. There's literally nothing else I can do at this point.
I know, exactly.
She has escaped.
Somehow, she got all the way outside and down the street enough for him to not think he could find her.
And in she
the
had, time what, that it a took 5-second lead on him,
right?
Maybe?
In the time that it took him to look at the wall. that's how long it was. I was like, you searched the whole building with what?
And that mentality, it's the same thing that we encountered with Magenta, where it's like, well, I've looked for 3 seconds. I don't know what else you want from me, guys.
I just wanted a cutscene of her hiding in the hallway right next to him, looking out and just giggling. Like, where could she have gone? She's barefoot.
Right.
But I will tell you, the other thing that happened that I thought was funny was as soon as he went outside and there was all that snow, there was a part of me that thought, oh man, is she making it snow all over as part of her escape? But then, no, it had turned out it had nothing to do with that.
Nope.
She's just really good at hiding.
It's the thing that just keeps bugging me, man. It's very, you move at super speed. If you don't find someone in 3 seconds, you can keep looking.
I mean, for goodness sake, go back in time 18 seconds and stand in the hallway and watch where she goes.
Like, Tony, do you want time wraiths? Because that's how you get time wraiths.
Fair enough. I accept your completely nonsensical response.
So, yes, that was moment number one of Joe pulling on his beard going,
So, and then, of course, it's right then that they decide, you know, okay, we have to find her. We have to figure out what's going on. The whole team is there. And Barry makes what I think is a sort of sensical, this makes sense decision.
Yep.
You know, okay, you guys look for Frost. I'm going to the future. And they're all like, wait, now? But of course, his response is, yeah, I can come back to right now. So what?
Yep.
Go find her. I'm going to go figure this out. We have to know.
I will be back in half a second.
And it turns out he actually did. He yep. By the end of the episode, he pulled that off, which I thought was cool.
He's getting good at the time traveling.
There was some discussion about he needed Wally to help propel him into the future.
Yeah, that was beard pulley moment number two for me.
Well, I guess for me, we've seen him go into the past before on his own, right?
Yep, yep.
But we've never seen him go into the future on his own on purpose. The one time he did it was when there was a little explosion from him throwing the Philosopher's Stone into the Speed Force.
Right.
And it was, who helped him do it before? Jay Garrick?
I believe so.
Somebody did this where they threw him into the Speed Force, so he decided to have Wally do that. But I feel like there was a quick one line. Yeah, it's a little different. It's harder to go. I need you to help me go forward. I can come back on my own. There was something they said that set it up.
I don't remember.
Or maybe I just invented that in my head because we know he can go to the past. We've seen him do it. So I guess he just needed help going to the future.
The rules are inconsistent, and it's one of the things that begs me.
Yeah, yeah. But it was nice to see him and the effects of Wally and him running and him being flung forward were again pretty good.
Right. Well, and then we do find ourselves in 2024, and the world is a happy, beautiful place where everybody has everything they could possibly want. And
the end. Barry's like, oh, never mind. This is all turned out okay.
It turned out Iris dying actually resulted in the world becoming a gorgeous, beautiful place.
And blackout.
Right. That's not what resulted at all. Turns out 2024 sucks. Yeah, anytime you end up in the future and there's nobody on the streets and a newspaper blows by, bad sign.
Right, exactly. How do we show that the future's messed up?
Right?
How about some gray filters and newspapers blowing around? Perfect.
Right. Newspapers, why, that's the city equivalent of tumbleweeds.
I think it was Julia on Facebook who said, I was just excited to see that print newspapers are still around 8 years from now.
Right, I love that on a lot of levels is the most unbelievable thing about what they did this episode. Newspapers, really? If a tablet had blown by and it had like the online news, I would have believed it.
So I did like the reappearance of two villains who have we've already talked about the fact that they're underused as yes. rogues, and I really like I've looked at their names and I forgot, but I like her as the top, the actor.
Yes.
But the guy who plays Mirror Master is kind of okay.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know. My heart belongs to Scottish mercenary Mirror Master. And that's always the Mirror Master I want.
Straight from the comics, yeah.
Yes, he's my favorite one. I mean, Sam Scudder is all fine and good, but Geoff Johns did a really great job creating a really fascinating character with the second Mirror Master.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm secretly waiting for that Mirror Master who exists on Earth 2 to come over and murder this one.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting if it happened.
Right?
That would be fun. Because
we have established that that's where he lives.
Yeah, and I also find, I hate to rip on people, the performance of this one, the character sort of underdeveloped and the actor is just kind of, he doesn't grab my attention.
Yeah. It's Gray Damon and Ashley Rickards are the play the top in Mirror Master.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was thrilled to see them. I didn't realize they were going to be in this episode.
Yeah, it was fun, and I liked watching Barry, you know, fall. You know, I think again on the Facebook page, somebody said, "Don't look at her! Don't look at her!"
I know.
You know this.
Figure it out. At least he doesn't do the exact same thing later in the episode.
But he has, you know, he does get away that first time, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Via the same way I think we saw Jesse Quick figure out she could get away is by being stronger and smarter and faster.
Right. Shake it off.
Shake it off, right. Do exactly. it out. But I did like, I will say this, I was just complaining about Mirror Master. His powers were a little different this time.
Oh, yeah. He has moved up the ladder.
Right in that, and this was my question to you. Was it his powers or her powers that were making everything look like it was falling in on Barry?
Well, Tony, my thought is, click. I don't know. It's very difficult to tell.
Perfect. They've learned to use their powers in tandem.
Right? Well, because it is a tricky thing. In the comic books, Mirror Master does not have powers. He has a mirror gun.
Right.
And that mirror gun can do a bajillion different things.
Yeah.
I would argue that on a lot of levels, he is the most dangerous of the rogues from the sheer amount of things he can do with that mirror gun.
Mm, interesting.
And it's hard to determine how they've translated that onto the screen, you know, onto the screen. And it's the same thing, you know, the top is very different in the comic books, not the least of which in so much as he's a dude.
Right.
In the comic books. But his powers are different, and his personality is very different.
Well, I'm also, in a lot of ways, to be honest with you, I'm glad that this top is not the I'm going to spin around real fast top, because that always struck me as super ridiculous.
It's super goofy, which is made all the funnier by like how dangerous he ends up becoming as far as like one of Flash's villains.
Right.
He actually ends up becoming really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Funny.
But yes, his powers, he spins around.
So he gets away, and of course, he the first place he goes is their apartment.
Yep.
And we get to see the picture that Iris was looking at in the beginning of the episode makes a reappearance in a pile of dust and rubble.
Yeah. You know, as it does, it's, you know, look, we're going with classic time travel tropes here, man. Go to someplace familiar, dig stuff out of rubble.
Right, exactly. And it works.
Yep.
But then Sisko appears because he
felt something.
Felt something.
I really wanted him to say, a presence I haven't felt since, ... I will always want Sisko to quote movies.
That's funny.
And they hug. And Sisko makes reference to the fact that Barry is wearing the 2017 suit, which allows him to figure out where he's from.
Right, right, right.
I loved that moment.
And then they head right to Star Labs, right?
They do.
Barry convinces Sisko that he's got to see future Barry.
And let me tell you, if you think that current Star Labs looks run down, holy jeez.
Yeah. Right? I feel like I shouldn't complain anymore about the little broken wing on Star Labs anymore.
Right. I wanted to see, like, future Barry being the one just, like, throwing newspapers out into the world to blow around. It's just what he does now.
That's what he does now. Oh, I'm sad. I'm just going to mess things up.
Throw some newspapers out so they can get blown around. It's like feeding the ducks.
I thought Grant Gustin did a pretty good job of being both characters.
He did. The wig helped.
The wig helped. Yeah, the wig, I was like, really? But but I get it. What did you think of the 2024 costume?
I actually thought it was pretty slick.
Mm-hmm.
It's all shiny.
Yeah. And it's got a lot more interesting piping. The big sort of classic flashy lightning belt.
Right.
Which was kind of fun.
Love that. Yeah, no, I actually thought it was pretty slick. I liked that it wasn't like a drastic change.
Right.
Because Flash has updated his costume before, and it always, it's not usually nothing huge. It's subtle changes.
Right. But I love it because that's the kind of thing that drives comic book fans nuts. Like, you know, you'll have a whole thing. What? They've added wings to his ears? What? And, you know, all of us, like, that's the only change, but it's ridiculous. And people, that's the thing I love about comic book fans. We just get so passionate.
Well, and, you know, although we didn't see them, I'm assuming that they added lifts into his costume. Because when Future Barry and Past Barry stand side by side, Future Barry is like 3 inches taller.
Yeah, it's funny. I hadn't even noticed that in the episode until I went back and was looking, and you said it, and somebody else said it. It made me laugh.
Like, wait a minute. Why is he 3 inches taller?
He's got better boots.
I guess better support. I don't. I just don't know.
But it's interesting to find out that Barry and Cisco in 2024 don't talk anymore. That Barry has Nobody pushed does. Everybody
the group
away.
The group has split up.
Barry disbanded it and he couldn't do it.
Yep,
and
shut down Star Labs.
Yep. And the big thing was that he broke his promise about Joe.
That was a big surprise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, you talk about the relationship that you never thought would go south.
Right. And Barry continues to fail to find out who Savitar is. Cisco doesn't know. Barry 2024 doesn't know.
Yeah, big surprise there.
And then they decide they're going to head and find Julian, who is at, it looked to me like it was some kind of maximum security metahuman prison.
I think so.
I was a little unclear because when they first went to it, I was like, is he got her held in his own, like, I'm keeping her prisoner here by myself?
God, I hope not.
But I don't think so. It didn't have that. Nobody
I was about to say, I was like, yeah,
that.
Would Julian walk around his house in a lab coat? And then I was like, oh, actually, maybe he would.
But I'm guessing that they did manage to capture her after Barry got rid of Savitar.
And I will tell you what this episode did for me again. There were multiple moments, and I'm just going to voice it and hope that I'm wrong. Dear producers of The Flash, please don't kill Julian. Please keep Julian on the show.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I really like what Tom Felton's doing with that character. And it's an interesting character.
He is. He really is. And he brings such an interesting perspective. I mean, he's, you know, he's jerky C-3PO. I love it.
Yes, that's a great way to describe him. That's funny.
I just love it, and it's like I've said it before. It's such a nice change to see Caitlin have or Danielle Panabaker have chemistry with someone.
Yeah,
well, so nice.
And I'll tell you what else. The thing that was really important in this scene is that we find out that our Caitlin, our Killer Frost, teams up with Savitar, and that's the big piece of information I feel like Barry got.
Well, not only that she teamed up with him, but that she knows who Savitar is.
Yeah, and I did like that. You're going to be so surprised. Yeah, and we'll talk about that when we get to the end of the episode, because there's much going on there. But
yeah, no, she's of all, like, yeah, Joe doesn't know, HR doesn't know, Cisco, Future Barry, but Caitlin knows.
Yep, and she's not telling anybody.
Nope.
Yeah, pretty interesting. So from there, they head over to see Wally, right?
Yes. Yes, they visit Wally in one of the more heartbreaking moments in a fairly heartbreaking episode.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, my heart. But I even loved the little banter, though, with Cisco and Wally's caretaker.
Yes.
It's a nice little writing directing thing that says, oh, Cisco has been around enough. that he's on a first name basis with her.
Yes, he visits, he hangs out. Like that was nice.
That's a nice little, I like subtle little things like that. But yes, Barry visits Wally to discover that Wally is in a wheelchair and in some sort of catatonia.
They said he had his spine shattered in three places, something like that.
Yep.
He had his spine shattered. And of course, I think we all went, doesn't he heal? But apparently, you know, it was bad enough where he isn't.
Right. Maybe, you know, sometimes when you break a bone and set it badly, it heals wrong.
Yeah. And if your spine was shattered in a few spots and whatever you saw,
that drove you very interested in,
right? Drove you insane. I mean, what he saw put him into a catatonia, like you said, it's been 8 years.
Yep.
Right.
Maybe Savitar is Cthulhu.
Well, you know, we might as well talk about it. It brought to mind for me is Savitar Wally.
I mean,
how that happens, no idea. And that will be, you know, I think Gary said it on Facebook. At this point, the Who is almost secondary because they've really set it up so that I think it really could be one of a whole host of people.
I do think it's one of the heroes, right? I do think it's someone from Team Flash.
I do too, but now the real mystery is how and why, right?
Nobody knew.
But I mean, if Wally rips that mask off of Savitar and in fighting him and sees his own face,
yep,
that could put him into that state of what just happened, and then he gets his back broken and is done, right?
Yep.
It's interesting, but I'm not advocating for that because there's another one that I'm actually sort of advocating for that we'll talk about later, I think. But yeah, it's that moment in the house with Wally, I thought was really beautiful and heartbreaking.
Oh, absolutely. And while in the house, Barry tries to figure out where Joe is, and Cisco says, well, if he's not here, there's only one other place he could be, which on some level made me go, so Joe just doesn't go to work anymore?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's retired, and who knows?
I guess.
I don't know that he's old enough to retire 8 years from now.
Right. Weirdly enough, turns out Jesse L. Martin is 60.
Right.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah,
but he's not even close.
Who knows? But he is at Iris's gravesite.
Yep.
And man, that was a pretty well done scene between Barry 2017 and Joe 2024, who thought he was talking to Barry 2024.
Well, I loved that he couldn't even bring himself to look at him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I don't know that I fully realized until this episode how much I rely on the Joe and Barry relationship. Because seeing it gone to such a drastic level, that stung, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's why I have fear.
I know.
That if Joe West is the one to get killed, there's a lot of rock solid foundation that comes to this show from that character and Jesse Martin's performance of that character. And if that's the one who gets offed at the end of the season, it worries me.
I will have the sads.
But, you know, that speaks in some ways too to the one of the things I think this episode did nicely was show the importance of Iris West.
Yep.
Because
we're starting to really see how she's the glue that holds it all together.
Yeah. I mean, that was, we've talked before and they've said it in the show. There's no Flash without Iris, you know? Mm-hmm. And we really saw that come home in a big way in this episode.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, with this conversation, Barry realizes that he super did not keep Iris's promise that she got out of him.
Yeah.
Right? He did not look after Joe at all.
And that, I think, is the second biggest thing that comes from his trip to the future is that realization of, geez, when I lost, I fell apart. I failed not only Iris, I failed everybody.
He sure did.
Which comes back at the end of the episode when we see the newscaster say, I think I speak for all of Central City, when we say, it's good to see you again. You know, and you see the 2024 Flash going, yeah, I screwed that up.
Yep.
Right. And I actually did think it was an interesting moment at the end with, you know, future Barry looking at the team and fully owning what he did.
Well, and one of my favorite moments, so right after this, you know, Barry goes to confront future Barry about everything.
Yep.
And future Barry makes that point of like, yeah, I did end up beating Savitar, but at that point he'd already won.
Right.
Like, it was really kind of the definition of Pyrrhic victory, right? Where it's like, yeah, you won technically, but you lost everything to do so.
Right. And he sort of went nuts following him and making it his mission, and he left everyone else to go. You know, they everything else fell apart.
And I don't remember if it's now. I think it's at this point that Future Barry name drops someone, because it turns out Future Barry wasn't really responsible for creating the Speed Force trap at all.
Right. No, he got help from Tracy Brand.
Who is this Tracy Brand? I don't know. I maybe did an obsessive search online last night trying to figure out if she has any previous DC connection. And if there is, I didn't find it.
No. Well, we've talked about her previously on the podcast when they announced that they'd cast the character and that she was going to be in the last four episodes. We talked about the fact that she was going to be a quirky, idiosyncratic scientist who's now not quite the genius that she's going to be in the future. But we know that that happens, right?
Yep.
And we've learned that from future Barry now, but yeah, we have no idea who she is yet in our timeline. And so he picks that up and he's coming back and he's going to solve it, you know? So that again is the next big thing, you know, that he gets from the trip to the future is not only her name, but Barry 2024 gives him a little flash drive thingy, flash drive.
Puns.
and says, here's all the info. You know, I don't know if in your timeline she can do anything, but good luck. But what I think is interesting about that is here's Barry again screwing with the past. It's not our Barry, it's future Barry, but he's still like, yeah, here, take this. Go back, see what happens. I don't know. In the meantime, you know, as soon as Barry takes off, everything fades away because their whole timeline is changed now, right?
I'm waiting for, like, I want to see a moment where a kid walks by, like, carrying some books with glasses taped together and a t-shirt that just says the past, and then, like, a bunch of Barrys just push him to the ground and start kicking him. Because, like, that's what the show has become on so many levels. Screw you, past! Bam, bam, bam.
But it's right? True, and as much, you know, complaining as people are going to do about it, that happens in the comics all the time.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
They're not usually as big as Flashpoint, but it's time travel does things, and people, and in the Flash, time travel is a big component.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, if we really can't travel in time except in the one direction that we move in regularly every day. And so we really don't know what the rules are. So, you know.
Well, one of the fun things about Wally West when Wally was the Flash during the Geoff Johns run is Wally had a very strict no time travel.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Because he'd seen what a mess.
Right. And like that was one of his big things is he would not time travel. Would not allow other people to time travel either. Basically just had a very strong no time travel.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we know why.
Yeah, right? So Barry's decision at this point in the episode is all right, I'm not able to get what I want here. I'm going to go home. I got to find Cisco and stop, or find Caitlin and stop her from joining Savitar. And he tries to go home, but he can't.
Yeah, something's not quite right.
And suddenly we're wondering why. Who's doing that? So they agree that they're going to go get HR and get his help. Which is funny because of all the scientific-y people, HR is not really the one. But
right. Maybe because he's actually not a scientist.
Right, exactly.
At all.
But, of course, we have to find out what's happening with HR, and we get the comic relief of the episode.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, and I love, yeah, not only is HR... First off, HR Jitters, hilarious.
HR Jitters. I love it that he's bought the coffee shop.
I love that not only is he a novelist, but he is like the trashiest of romance novelists.
Well, and also that he's the trashiest of steal things from Flash's life.
Oh,
because what
God.
Was the name of it? The Streak versus Dr. Reflecto or something?
Dr. Reflecto.
Instead of Mirror Master and the Flash. I'm just going to... Mr. Reflecto? What, it was something Reflecto. Reflecto
Mr.
Man?
Reflecto?
I don't know.
I don't know. But that name just sticks with me. Get it?
Oh, nope. This.
I'm going to laugh at that if nobody else does.
This whole him reading from his book and getting text messages from women who want to sleep with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Really funny, and right on the edge. For a minute, I was like, this is still a family show, right? Hey, right?
This is about to take a decidedly turn into the adult.
It's getting warm in here.
My goodness.
And
there was a part of me, too, that went, of course, Tom Cavanaugh, on the episode you direct, of course.
Right. And then Barry, they speed in and get him. And he yells at them. You did the impression earlier, Joe.
I was about to check off one of the most important boxes a man can do.
That whole bit was pretty funny.
Oh, so good. So funny. I loved his ability to text while reading.
Yeah, right?
So funny.
But then that did get him in trouble a little bit.
It did.
So... at that point, they get Joe. Is that when they get?
I think
all
must.
Of them and take them to Star Labs, right? They get Joe, they get Julian, and
yes.
They get HR. They all meet in Star Labs. We skipped the part I think where we find out that Cisco has robotic hands.
Oh, we did. That's how Killer Frost stopped Cisco from beating her.
Yes.
In their last encounter, is she done froze his hands off.
Which made me go, wait, his power is in his hands?
I thought that as well. Like, does he have some sort of vibe gland in his palms?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a hand-wavy moment for me. Like, wait, what?
Right.
Maybe, you know, in order to really focus the energy, he's got to be able to, it fell apart already. I don't know.
And that leads me, there was one other moment in this episode, we just kind of dealt with it. It was subtly there, but I want to acknowledge it at least. So HR is now a public figure.
Right.
And not as his little illusionary-faced assistant from the other reality, but as himself.
As HR Wells.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, how did we get to that point? Because I recognized early on this season, when they introduced the, HR can't go out because people think he's Harrison Wells, I was like, oh no, this is going to become a tangled plot thing really quickly. Can we find a way to elegantly solve this immediately?
Right.
And apparently they have. I don't know what it is yet, but apparently they have.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because Harrison Wells is wanted. Is considered to be dead.
He's dead. Yeah, he's dead and was, you know, yeah, a criminal.
Right. But here H.R. Wells just happens to look exactly like him and is a famous novelist now.
If you read my blog, I have a theory. The blog that I include for this week's episode.
Okay. So on the show notes, when you go to the Central City Underground website, and you can look in. There's always a little blog post there. I don't know. A lot of people just download the thing onto their phones. I think don't look at those. So if you don't,
what?
If you don't go to the Central City Underground website, there's always a little blog thing there about the episode from Joe.
And they're always hilarious.
They're always outstanding. A lot of people read them. Don't worry, Joe. I think just not everybody.
All my hard work for nothing.
I'm just reminding people that they're there. And he's out. But yeah, it is a weird thing about his identity being revealed to the public.
Yes.
So I don't know. But
anyway,
they get the team back together, minus Caitlin, minus Iris, in the dilapidated Star Labs, and we get, you know, a fun little montage moment of everybody taking plastic off things. It's good to be back. Let's power up the old, you know. And then the metahuman app goes off conveniently. Dumb and Dumber are breaking into something again.
They're stealing diamonds, I believe, this time.
There you go.
And yes, worst superhero team-up name ever. Yeah. Dumb and Dumber.
And Barry goes to, like you said, he goes to get zapped by the top again. Hello.
Well, and ooh, there is a thing that we've missed that we need to discuss real quick. So, at this point, someone has figured out why he can't travel back in time, and Sisko fesses up.
Oh, right.
Sisko's got his little circular device, because that's how he likes to design things, that is interfering with the field that he creates when he runs.
Yes.
Something.
Technology.
My heart broke a little bit, because his reasons were so simple. He just wants his buddy back.
I did love that, and it was a great little reminder of the strength of that friendship.
Right.
You know, because I miss my friend. Like, was this thing, he just went, oh, geez, wow, okay.
So lovely, especially after all the grumpy Sisko we had earlier this season.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see this relationship back on track.
Yes.
And that great moment where Barry's like, yeah, I'm going home. And Sisko, he's like, well, no, like, of course you are. He was really hoping Barry would stick around and get the team back together and they could fight crime. And
right.
And Barry decides to stick around. He decides to stick around and help for a second.
Yeah, it was an interesting moment. He's going to leave. And there's a part of me that goes, okay, he's taking responsibility for things. That's nice. He wants to help. Yep. You know, there was another part of me that was just go home and erase this timeline.
Yep.
So, which is what he ultimately does anyway. We think, I don't know, maybe these timelines just continue to exist. You know,
right? He's just
We don't know, but they're left with hope.
Which is,
I think, a good thing.
I agree. So yes, Barry goes to take on Dumb and Dumber. In a moment that makes me a little, I was like, wow, you guys are rusty, Team Flash. So, like, Barry goes off to face them, and after Barry goes off to face them, that's when Team Flash is like, oh, yeah, we should probably figure out some way for him to beat them.
Right. It has been, you know, what, 8 years since they've really done anything, so.
There was this part of it that's like, maybe figure out the plan first, then go fight them.
Yeah.
But, yes, they use Sisko's little device to find some way to scientifically protect him from the top's magical hoobie-joobie craziness.
Yes.
And yes, you know, what's the first thing that happens? I do love that line where Flash calls the top out for being tacky, but hey, I'm old-fashioned. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
And then, of course, he looks right in her eyes and she gives him the whammy.
Right. So really, the thing that they were working on wound up not doing anything because then other Flash shows up, right?
Well, no. The reason it worked...
Help me remember why.
They needed to get it to the Flash and they didn't know how.
Oh, of course. Thank you. God, I had a total fade. I'm like, how did this episode end? What happened?
Totally fine.
I have a cold. God came back. I have a cold, Joe. Happened.
Yeah, it turns out, wouldn't that be hilarious if the Savitar suit opens up and it's Grodd inside?
2024 Grodd. Ugh.
Right. How did he even fit in there?
it's bigger on the inside. Wait, what?
Well done. But yes, future Barry zips on over and helps past Barry. Gives him the device that protects him from the top's powers.
Yes.
I loved how quickly Top and, you know, Dumb and Dumber both realize, oh no, if Barry's not affected by our power, we're essentially just schlubs.
Right, and I love that the response is, let's run.
Yep. Like,
finally, somebody who ran slow enough for Flash to catch them.
Right, because, oh, that's the other thing the device does, is it allows him to follow Mirror Master, right? It allows him to use Mirror Master's powers against him.
Okay.
And so, Flash 1 takes on Mirror Master, Flash 2 takes on the top. There is much fighting, and everybody wins, and everyone is happy.
Yes.
And with that, Barry goes back to the past.
And right? Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other, there's a little moment of a wrap up at Star Labs where we know that they're going to get some they have some hope. They're going to move forward, right. You know.
Future Barry gives past Barry Tracy Brand's little device and says, I don't know. Hopefully she can figure it out.
Right. Which of the Flash is wound up with that speed dampening thing?
I think it's Future Flash, which okay. seems like a bummer.
Yeah. I was trying to remember which one captured Mirror Master. That would have been the one who was holding it,
that
right?
That was Future Flash. Past Flash took out the top.
Yeah, that's just one of those moments that bugs me. Like, why did that not come home with you?
Why, super useful.
This interrupts a speed force field generator thingy? Huh, how could we possibly use that against the most difficult speedster we face? Anyway, it was a pretty good episode despite that.
And then, yeah, Barry shows up, and I love that moment of Wally being like, whoa, did it work?
It worked. We got to try again. Yep. He came back perfectly. That was nice. Yep.
He's getting good at it. He really, yeah, he nailed the landing. Showed up right when he left.
Right.
Gets the team back together. They've got something resembling a plan now. I loved his little moment with Joe in the hallway of, I guess now, emoting instead of exposition. They didn't really expose. They just emoted.
It was nice.
Yes.
Just and a big hug.
You really get a sense that even if Iris dies, and I'm not going to lie, starting to think it might happen, Tony. That even if Iris dies, that he is going to do his best to look after Joe.
I don't think so.
I'm worried.
I don't think so. Only probably because I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, me too.
But then we get our really cool ending to the episode.
Yes, we do.
You know, Killer Frost is out there wandering around in the snow. I have to throw this out there, by the way, on Twitter. Danielle Pennebaker posted a picture of her in that final scene. And somebody on Twitter replied back to her, were you really walking around out there barefoot in the snow? And Danielle Pennebaker responded, yep, that's okay. The snow never bothered her anyway. Aww. Quoting a line from Let It Go from Frozen, of course. But I thought that was fun, to her just interacting with fans that way about being Killer Frost. It was fun.
Awesome. Oh, she's great.
But then we get that really cool moment where the two of them meet in the woods and it becomes a little showdown until he basically, that whole moment of kneeling down and getting in the disembarking from my armor pose,
right.
The special effects on that were awesome.
Right. Oh, super cool. Well, I loved the exchange between the two of them where she, you know, she's like, are you here to stop me? No, I'm here to free you. The idea of like,
called her my child.
My child.
What?
Right. He's got a lot of, you know, pseudo religious phraseology. But he also, you know, he explains that he never wants her to become Caitlin or to become Caitlin again.
Right.
He wants her to be Killer Frost forever.
Right, and that's the thing that sort of starts to turn her to his side.
Yes.
And then when he takes off the armor and stands up in front of her, she says, what can I do? What does she say? How can I help? Something?
Yep. It's an interesting moment, and one of the things a lot of the folks on the CCU were talking about is, well, it has to be somebody that she immediately would trust, to which I go, does it? I don't know. I don't think it has to be trust. I don't think it has to be trust at all.
I think it has to be somebody she recognizes as being the perfect person to take down the team.
Exactly.
Right? I think it
can be fear. It can be machination. I don't think it's trust at all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because a lot of people were voicing that, oh, then Savitar is Ronnie Raymond. I super don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We've got so many theories. And, you know, they could come back and figure out a way to make it Ronnie Raymond for us.
Totally.
If it showed up that way, sure.
We still don't really know what happened to Ronnie.
Correct. Which I think is a big part of the theory. Right. But I still don't. I mean, Ronnie Raymond wasn't. He never got speed. He wasn't with the team to know all the things that Savitar knows.
Right. No, I am holding to my theory that it's future Barry, not the Barry that we saw this week, but one even further into the future.
Yes, that was one of the things talked about on the Facebook page a lot was, you know, did this episode eliminate some people because we saw them in the future while Savitar was trapped in the Speed Force. But I don't think it eliminated anybody because the 2024 versions of them were all there. But yep. If 2056 Barry, the one who sent the message back to Rip Hunter saying there's a bad thing happening, don't trust me when you come back to Central City, blah, blah, blah. If it's 2056 Barry, who is Savitar, then 2024 Barry can still be walking around getting over his emo phase and reuniting the team and trying again.
Right.
Right.
That something moment where we see him dramatically remove his future wig.
Yeah, exactly. Bum, bum, bum. Something could easily happen in the future to any of those people to drive them insane enough to become evil and Savitar and go back in the past and start killing people.
I completely agree.
Right. So the most likely contenders, I think, right, are Wally and Barry.
Yep.
I have to say, in this episode, it made me wonder a little bit if it's Jay.
Oh.
And some of that came from Caitlin's response. And because he called her my child.
That is true.
Now, there's probably reasons that have come up that I can't think of right now that would make it not be Jay. You know, because some of the things that have happened, like some of the comments that Savitar has made are things that only Sisko and Barry knew in conversations between them, right? Like things that the evil Sisko said, the vibe from Earth 2 said, right? Things like that. But some of that could have been anecdotally handed down to the team, like as they're, you know, telling each other what happened.
Right.
You know, am I making any sense when I say that?
You are. It's just my mind is reeling with the possibilities.
Right, exactly. And I think that's where they want us, you know?
Yeah.
I still feel like it has to be a speedster.
Yep.
And between the three of them, when we look at, and by the three of them, I mean Barry, Wally, and Jay, when we look at way back when they showed us the origin of Savitar, we got a shot from the back of a guy holding up a blue glowy orb, right? Between the three guys, that fits John Wesley Shipp's body more.
I just don't know.
Right? I don't, which is part of the fun, which is part right now, part of the reason that I'm happy with the way the series is going, because it could be any of them. And when it happens, I'm going to go, oh, what? How come? And why?
Right.
I mean, if it turns out that it's you know, Julian or Eddie Thawne, I'm going to go, wait, what?
I know, me too.
But if it's one of the three speedsters from the future who's gone nuts, that for me is going to be a satisfying resolution, no matter which one it is, I think, because then I'm really going to want to know how and why.
Yep.
Right? That's and where I am.
I could be wrong, Tony, but I think we're finding out next week.
I hope so.
I mean, the title of the episode is I Know Who You Are.
Right. It seems like that might make sense to make it then.
Right. I mean, who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah, but right. So, Joe, I think that's the end of our discussion, episode discussion, right?
I think you are correct.
Yeah, not a bad episode. There were some things that you know, were a little eye-rolly.
Sure.
But there were some things that I thought worked really well. I totally understand why some people might be done with the Who is Savitar thing, and, you know, it's been dragged out too long. But I don't know. I have found it to be engaging storytelling.
I have too, especially, I mean, we've talked about it before. This season has been a bit of a departure in a way that I really liked, in which the second half of the season hasn't really been about the big bad. The big bad has barely been there. It's been about figuring out how to stop his plans.
Right.
And I thought that was a fun kind of change of pace.
Yeah, and figuring out what his plans are. I'm waiting until, you know, 3 weeks after this season ends, to sort of decide, but at this point, it feels to me like I'm going to enjoy the logic of this season more than the logic of last season.
I think so too.
Because I think I said this at the end of last season, at the beginning of this season, I'm still a little iffy on what Zoom was ever trying to do.
I kind of felt like Zoom was iffy on what Zoom wanted to do. I mean, it was also vague and confusing.
Right. So I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, at this point, I still want to know why the heck Savitar, through alchemy, was even, like, repowering people from Flashpoint to begin with.
Right.
Like, what's the end game there? Unless, Tony...
Oh, here we go.
The end game was to give Wally back his powers so that he would become a speedster, so eventually he would become Savitar.
Ah, there you go. He does say, I made myself. That's a quote from Savitar.
Oh, my gosh, he does.
Remember, that's a quote from Savitar that we talked about. I made myself. But again, that could be Jay, because Jay put himself in the Speed Force to take Wally's place. Is it forever in the Speed Force that drives him crazy and gives him superpowers?
But then he also says, I am the future, Flash. And there's all that debate on, is it I am the future, comma, Flash? Or I am the future, Flash?
Either way, if it doesn't happen until 2056, he's their future. Right? So there's a lot. That's the thing. I think it's been fun because there are so many things being said and done that could mean something, but might not. The mystery of it is, I think, being executed in a fun way. Because if nothing else, it's got you and me and everybody in the CCU and every other podcast and fandom who talk about this show going, no, I think it's, but why? No, it's got to be. That kind of discussion is what you want, right?
You're right.
So that part of it, I'm a fan of. And in fact, I'm going to skip to feedback because Destiny Dazzler has some thoughts too.
Do it.
Hi, Central City Underground. It's Destiny Dazzler. I'm glad I finally get to talk to you guys again. It's been a while. So I had a theory that Savitar is actually Ronnie Raymond. At the end of the episode, if you look at Caitlin's reaction, for one, she's really surprised. And at first she says, why should I trust you? But the minute he takes off his armor, she says, what do you need me to do? I think the only person that could get her to change her mind that quickly would be Ronnie, because he's the love of her life. I think that Ronnie got stuck in the Speed Force or whatever. He became angry over time, and now he's coming after Barry, and the reason he kills Iris is because he wants Barry to feel the pain that he felt when he was separated from Caitlin for all that time. So I was just wondering what you guys thought. Talk to you later. Bye.
Great feedback, Destiny Dazzler. Thank you. And it's so funny because after just saying, I don't think it could be Ronnie, there it is explained to me how it kind of could be.
It absolutely could be.
Right?
And they could even justify it and explain it in a way that wouldn't make me crazy. My gut's just telling me no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, Ronnie.
I feel like it's a bigger betrayal to the team, to our heroes that we've been with for the last two seasons, because Ronnie's come and gone a little bit, right?
Yep.
That we've been with for the last three seasons. It's a bigger betrayal if it's one of them.
Yeah, I think so too. No offense to Ronnie, but he has been something of a blip on the radar of the history of the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would lack the dramatic punch necessary.
But, you know, like Destiny Dazzler just pointed out, that doesn't mean it can't happen because there's a clear path for it to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is part of the fun. I mean, there's a clear path for it to be Julian if you go there.
Oh, sure.
Right? Because why is Savitar continue to go to Julian and say, you have to be the one to help me, you have to be the one to help me, right? Is it him helping himself? I mean, there are paths to it, and it's all about, at this point, who, but then how and why.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool. We got more feedback. You want to read one?
Yeah, we've got one here from Christy that says, how can Barry run into the future when the future hasn't happened yet? Also, why is he so insistent on fixing the future when ideally he will save Iris and that dystopian future won't ever happen? If I ignore these two plot points, this episode was really good. I loved seeing the special effects on how Savitar came out of his super suit. I'm really hoping that the Savitar reveal will be truly shocking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm with you. Too. Those are your issues were both issues that Tony and I both had as well.
Well, I mean, my answer to the whole, how can you travel to the future thing is that, the timeline we're in has a future. How do we know that we're not in somebody's past right now? Right? Does all time exist all the time and it's all being changed? Because that's the whole theory behind time travel.
It really is.
Right? I don't know that you and I right now, if if a 2024 Joe appeared in CCU headquarters right now next to me and said, "You can't release this podcast. The world's going to go to hell." I would go, "Wait, are you so the future has happened?" Because it's his world. He's just coming to the past, right? But for me, it's the same timeline. So time travel makes my head hurt.
I want to believe that 2024 version of me will still have a glorious head of hair, and maybe science will have allowed me to regrow a kidney.
Right? You probably got like a shelf full of them.
Do I?
Yeah, well, I would think maybe, just in case.
Future kidneys? For those who are listening, I only have one kidney. That's why that joke is funny.
Future kidneys? That's why that joke is funny.
Jokes are always funnier when you explain them.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Always. Any comedy, please take the time to explain it. We're going to keep going. Great feedback. Thank you. Joe, we got some feedback from Dad L, who says, "Hello, Undergrounders. I'll start off with a Back to the Future reference. That was heavy." "Once again, great performances by all the actors this episode. This seemed to be the Darkest Before the Dawn episode. I'm really looking forward to the resolution. I had a few nitpicks, but I'm sure you guys will cover those. I'll mention one. Come on, 2017 Barry, don't look at the top in the eyes again." Yes. "Now those pesky writers are going to keep us guessing one more week. But now we know that Savitar is someone that Caitlin trusts. Or is it someone Killer Frost trusts? I'm sure Ronnie Raymond will now be the leading favorite. And Flash did create the vortex that killed Ronnie. I think there's a good argument there. I also hope this will be the last lesson Barry needs in order to learn to keep his friends and family close, no matter the circumstances. I think we need to see him finally grow in this area and stop pushing people away. And who wants some version of that 2024 suit next season? Me, I do." "I give this episode 8.5 guest appearances by an Arrow wig." For the non-Arrow watchers, there's a lot of flashbacky stuff in Arrow where the Green Arrow, played by Stephen Amell, wears a wig that makes him look very disheveled from the past. Funny.
Does it make him look disheveled, or does it make him look like a guy wearing a wig?
A little from column A, a little from column B. I'll tell you what, though, Dad L, I really agree with your thought on hoping this will be the last lesson Barry needs in order to learn to keep his friends and family close. Because I agree, I think we need to see him finally grow in that area and stop pushing people away. Because it's a plot device I think we're done with. Like, every time it goes to it, there's a collective sigh and eye roll among many of the CCU.
How many of us loved it when Killer Frost in the future called the team out for being the secret keepers back in the...
Oh, right? Oh, sure. Secrets. That's kind of our thing, isn't it? Right? And I think we all go, yeah, right? How about we just fight the bad guys now?
Right?
Yeah.
That might be an interesting choice.
Yes, yes. All right, Joe, we got more feedback. Thank you.
I've got one here from the Elfie one. Elfie goes on to say, "I'm so happy to see that there are still daily print newspapers in the year 2024.
There it is.
So good. "I'm confused about the need for Wally to help Barry into the future, but his ability to return on his own. Does it take more speed for him to move forward in time? Why are Cisco's powers dependent on having hands? How is HR getting away with being famous without changing his face or name? Why do so many women want to sleep with him?"
Oh, come on. It's Tom Cavanaugh.
Right? Come on. "Why can't Barry find villains the second they turn a corner?"
Seriously. And the follow-up question is perfect. Why does he stop looking? He just steps outside and goes, "Nope, that's it, you guys. I can't find her.
I just want to hear. There's literally nothing else I can do.
I'm going to head over to the mall and get a smoothie and a Wetzel's pretzel, you guys. This is, I'm done." Like, what? Keep looking around.
Right. It will take you 2 seconds.
It's a barefoot woman running around leaving a trail of ice where she goes.
This should be an easy catch.
I mean, yes. Anyway,
the Elfie one goes on to say, "I really liked this episode and gave it 8.75 sexy future Cisco robot hands." Sexy? I don't know, man. It looked to me like he hadn't taken a bath in most of those years.
David Structure, even folks, Joe. Don't judge.
You know what? Fair enough. Fair enough. "I have no idea who Savitar is. So good to be back. The Elfie one."
Yes, excellent feedback. Thank you, Elfie one. Yeah, those were pretty much the questions we had, I think, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although I was pretty clear on why so many women wanted to sleep with him, because, I mean, Tom Cavanaugh's dreamy.
I mean, if he texted me, I'm not sure what I'd do.
Checking off a box.
Right.
One more feedback from Obsidian. Hi, Tony and Joe. While this was dark and foreboding episode, I really enjoyed it. My one question is, now that we've seen the future Flash gang, does that eliminate them as candidates for being Savitar? If I remember correctly, the message from future Barry that the Legends received was never resolved. It said not to trust Barry. Do you think that storyline was dropped, or is it just on the back burner for now? I gotta say, HR is kind of growing on me. I might even almost kind of not want him to die. The whole HR jitters scene was great. Kavanaugh is spectacular. Speaking of great actors, Jesse Martin really knows how to tug on the heartstrings. Every time. And Panabaker, wow, her Frosty gave me the chills. This is going to be one long wait, even if it is only 7 days. The suspense of who Savitar is killing me. Thanks, fellas. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Obsidian. We appreciate the feedback. And yeah, it's funny. The whole, does that eliminate them as candidates for being Savitar is a great question.
I don't think it does.
I know it was brought up on the CCU page and discussed some, but I still don't think it does, because all we know is that the 2024 versions of them aren't Savitar.
Right.
Right? But that, again, doesn't mean that in 2030 or 2035 or, you know, in 2025, for heaven's sake, somebody snaps, something happens, and they become evil.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I hearken back to when Eobard Thawne kind of discussed his origins, played by our good pal Matt Letcher.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast. He talked about how he wanted to be the Flash. In the future, he really wanted to be the Flash, and through time travel discovered that, oh, turns out I'm actually supposed to be the Flash's biggest enemy.
Right.
So it is one of those things where it's like, does one of them end up becoming Savitar because that's what their destiny was the whole time and they didn't know it?
Or did they create that destiny themselves by, you know, seeing that?
We just don't know.
Self-fulfilling time travel prophecies? We don't know because it's fake and we make it up. Not just we, all of the time travel writers, as far as right. We know so far. But no, excellent feedback this week. Really thoughtful. Thank you, guys.
Indeed.
Very fun. So, Joe, I think that does it for this week. Next week, we have a new episode on Tuesday, which means feedback deadline is Wednesday night at midnight again.
Boom.
Everybody, please, 304-837-2278. Send us in some feedback and let us know what you think of next week's episode. You can also type your feedback in at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback or leave a voicemail there and send us your own dulcet tones.
Right.
And over the course of the next week, too, I want to remind you to join us on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. And if you haven't joined us on the Facebook page, you can search for it. It's under Central City Underground on Facebook. It's very fun. There's a lot of wonderful back and forth between the undergrounders on there that is fun to be a part of. So join us over there.
We would love to have you.
And leave us an iTunes review if you haven't. And check out some of the other Golden Spiral Media podcasts. We're coming up to the end of a lot of shows, which means that over the summer, you're going to have time to binge watch some things. Feel free to jump in and grab one of the many Golden Spiral Media podcasts about shows and use that as you binge watch over the summer and enjoy yourself. And Joe, that's it for
like
me.
I feel like someone should start doing a podcast about our podcast.
I don't know why that's not happening yet.
I know. God, it seems like such a gimme.
I'm just saying, Destiny Dazzler.
Elfie One.
We're looking at you two.
Come on. Underground, the Central City Underground.
Hilarious. Okay, so this week, you guys, we're going to talk about how Tony and Joe dissected the episode. Everyone's whole heads just explode. What? Hilarious. Too funny.
Yeah, what if Savitar's suit opens up and it turns out it's Tony?
Right? That suit is, speaking of needing lifts, that suit is way too tall for me, Joe. And I don't think there's enough room for my chubby middle-aged guy belly. But if it's 2056 me, maybe I got taller and skinnier.
Right? We have established that people get taller in the future.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We appreciate all the great feedback. We will talk to you next week.
See you then.
Bye.